We've got George Carvos on the line. George is from the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, and he's their lawyer, and they advocate for policies that ramp up energy efficiency programs in Florida by the power companies, and they encourage renewable energy development in the state. I asked George to be on the program because we've got an amendment coming up in August 30th called Number 4, which we would like to support. So, George, are you there?
I am, Tom.
Okay, good. Tell us about SACE. What is the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy? Is it one of the backers of Amendment 4, and what does it do?
Sure. Well, first of all, Tom, thanks. It's a pleasure to be on the program.
We appreciate it.
Southern Alliance for Clean Energy is a regional nonprofit organization that promotes responsible energy choices to address the impacts of climate change. We advocate for federal, state, and local climate solutions. It's a regional organization that's been around for over 30 years, and I've been with the organization for about 10. And I've been working on state-level energy policy, trying to steer the state to a cleaner energy future for about 10 years. A lot of that has been spent going toe-to-toe with the power companies, and I have the bruises to show for it.
What is the state of renewable energy in Florida of all kinds? And then we'll talk about solar. But how is Florida doing with respect to renewable energy?
Well, Florida is not doing well with respect to renewable energy. We generate about 2% of our energy from renewable energy sources.
Did you say 2%?
2%.
Uh-huh.
That's right. And most of that is burning trash to create electricity. About a tenth of a percent currently comes from solar power.
Wow. And I know there are a couple of power company plants that produce that use solar, but they're, again, a small part of the picture. I read somewhere that Florida is 15th in solar installations in the United States, but of course we're one of the states with the most sunshine. So how come we're so far behind?
Right. There are a few large solar plants that are coming online at the end of this year. FPNL is proposing a couple. Gulf Power has signed some contracts for large solar plants. But even when those plants come online, we'll still be well behind our neighbors to the north, like Georgia and North Carolina, in terms of large-scale utility-scale solar. Now, you would think Florida's a sunshine state, right?
Right.
But you look around at rooftops, and you don't see very much rooftop solar.
True.
We have over 9 million electricity customers, and yet we have fewer than 12,000 rooftop solar systems.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just by comparison, to give you a point of reference, the state of New Jersey has over 43,000 rooftop solar systems with half the population and less sun. So.
And we have how many? And Florida has how many?
New Jersey has over 43,000. Florida has less than 12,000.
Wow! And what? How have those states managed to encourage the solar where we haven't? What's the policy that keeps that from happening?
Sure. So we have a couple barriers here in the Sunshine State that don't allow us to maximize our solar potential. The first one is a prohibition of what's called third-party sales. That allows a customer to directly be provided solar-generated electricity by someone other than a power company. In fact, Florida is just one of four states that prohibits these third-party sales.
Wow.
And that was actually the drive behind the Floridians for Solar Choice ballot initiative in 2015. That would have actually lifted that prohibition on third-party sales. And this, third-party sales has been a major driver in states like New Jersey, California, Colorado, in promoting especially residential rooftop solar development.
In layman's terms, that's where someone offers to come in and put the solar panels on your roof at no cost to you. You pay them back, or lease the equipment, I guess, from them for a period of years. You reduce your bill, and then eventually, I guess, you pay them back, and then it becomes your own. Is that the idea?
That's the idea. It removes the upfront barrier to rooftop solar power, which is essentially the upfront cost. You can have a system placed on a roof at no upfront cost, and then the solar company is simply paid back by the power that the system generates for the property owner.
So in getting ahead of ourselves, but in 2018, we may see that amendment to allow that or to...
Right. In 2018, Floridians for Solar Choice did not get the number of signatures required to be on the ballot, in part because there was a competing amendment launched by a group called Consumers for Smart Solar, which was essentially bankrolled by the power companies and Koch brother funded groups, which, we can talk about in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's really exciting is that there is an amendment on the August ballot.
Yes.
Which will lift another barrier
yes.
in Florida, which are burdensome taxes on solar systems.
Yeah, that's Amendment 4. And there's an organization called yesonfour.org, for a numeral 4, yesonfour.org. Tell us about Number 4 and what it does.
Sure. That's number four is exciting because it's really an immediate step that voters can take, actually this month, to pass this amendment. What it would do is that it would lower the cost of solar power. It's really as simple as that. Right now, there are certain taxes that solar systems are subject to. One of the most burdensome is a tangible personal property tax, which is a non-real estate tax that can increase the cost of solar power by up to 5 cents a kilowatt hour. In Florida, a few cents a kilowatt hour can make the difference between going solar or not going solar.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can remove some of these burdensome taxes, the hope is that, it will increase solar development and lead to a more sustainable energy future here in Florida.
Yes, and that's Number 4 coming up in early voting and on August 30th in the primary. It's the only amendment on the ballot that you'll see. You won't see any others of any subject whatsoever, but it's called Number 4 still because that's the number it got originally. And we at WSLR here have solar power on our roof. We have 10 kilowatts of power on our roof, and we're saving money on our electric bills, and naturally we're in favor of Number 4, which would remove the taxes on your solar equipment that you purchase for your own home. So we urge everybody to vote yes on 4 and to check out the reasons for doing that at yesonfour.org. We even had a station editorial addressing this and advocating it. It'll also bring more solar jobs and companies into Florida, I think, and encourage that kind of non-outsourceable jobs and grow the industry in Florida. So yes on 4. What about November? Why do we call that the bad bill? And what does it do? Number 1 in November, getting ahead of ourselves in November. Why is that the bad one?
Sure, Tom. And let me just mention on Amendment 4 as well that on most ballots it will appear as the last item on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important, number one, to get friends and family to get out and vote in August because voter turnout tends to be a little light. And then also to remember, in a lot of cases, you'll have to flip over your ballot and look at the very bottom
of the
ballot to find Amendment 4. And obviously encourage folks to vote yes on that.
So you got to look for it and then vote for it, right? Look for 4.
Yes. Now, in Amendment 1, and there's been some confusion about this, so I'm glad that we're talking about it, because folks are aware that there's an amendment on a ballot that is not good, and as you mentioned, that's the Amendment 1
in November
on the November ballot.
Mm-hmm.
That is bankrolled by the power companies and Koch brother funded groups. FPL has been a primary donor of that effort, as has Duke Energy and others. And this amendment was created for two reasons. Number one, to derail the Floridians for Solar Choice ballot initiative in 2015 by using deceptive language that confused voters as to which amendment they were actually signing. And something even more insidious took place. Petition gathering company, and let me point out that we had a lot of really good volunteers and many from your area that helped in that effort, and we're very thankful for that. But we also had to engage paid volunteers, or rather paid petition gatherers.
Right, right.
And this other, the petition gathering company that the utilities were using, went to the petition gatherers that we were using and said, we'll pay you double.
Oh, man. Wow.
Well, that's not even the worst of it. And then they said, well, if you carry our petition, you can't carry theirs, and if we find out that you carried theirs, you'll be liable for $5,000 in damages. And they had them sign a contractual agreement to that effect.
Uh-huh.
So, as you can imagine, that was not too helpful for the Floridians for Solar Choice effort. And the other reason this is on the ballot is to impose costs on solar customers. Now, the language is very sort of cleverly worded to sound somewhat flowery and to suggest that it actually provides some sort of solar choice
customers. Right, it says rights of electricity consumers regarding solar energy choice is the title in November.
That's correct. You know, it sounds like it's offering you a choice for the first time that you'll have an opportunity to own solar or to lease it. But you can already do that in Florida.
Of course.
And then it has a provision in there where it guarantees certain consumer protections. But these consumer protections already exist. You have them now, you'll have them afterwards if this passes. What it very cleverly does is that it has a provision at the very bottom of it that will put in the Constitution forever that solar customers are being subsidized by non-solar customers.
Mm-hmm.
And once that's in the Constitution, the power companies will use that as a pretext to impose costs on customers that use solar power currently and will use it in the future. By imposing costs, I mean by slapping a fee on them or raising the rates.
Hmm. The ballot language can be read by going to flsolarchoice.org, Florida Floridians for Solar Choice, flsolarchoice.org. I've read the bad amendment for November, and it's really something. It would also, some people say, ultimately take away net metering. Can you explain net metering? I believe it's done now, but it might be endangered. What is net metering exactly?
Sure. So net metering is really the only, I don't think I'm overstating it here, but I think the only renewable energy policy that we have for solar power in the state of Florida. And it is a policy where if you own your own solar equipment, you can generate your own power. And if you have any excess power, you can send it back to the grid for a fair value. So most systems right now, if not all, are interconnected. And I'm talking about rooftop systems are interconnected to the utility's distribution system. And you are allowed to generate your own power, and at any point, if you have any excess, you can send it back to their system.
Right, and you...
Now,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, sure. So that's what's in place now. It's a good policy, and it promotes rooftop solar development.
Okay, and that might be endangered by the November amendment, number one.
Sure. Once there's a presumption that somehow there's some subsidization, quote unquote, going on, The power companies will come after net metering. They may want to impose costs on customers, you know, $30, $40, $50 a month the charges. You know, this is not, you know, speculation. This is, you know, these are battles that are being fought in other states.
Mm-hmm.
And power companies are proposing these types of measures on customers that use net metering with the, you know, with a flawed argument that somehow customers who are using less energy and are generating at times their own power and sending it back to the grid are somehow not paying their fair share of the utility's costs for maintaining its transmission infrastructure. And, you know, there's very little evidence to back that up, and the studies that have been done actually show that solar customers, because of the time of day they generate power and because the rooftop solar is distributed and reduces line losses and a host of other benefits, actually provides a net benefit to the utility.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, so they're going after net metering on a flawed, really just a flawed argument, and they're discriminating against solar customers.
And this group, that's really the power companies and the Koch brothers, call themselves Consumers for Smart Solar, and their amendment is called Rights of Electricity Consumers Regarding Solar Energy Choice. This is in November. This is the bad one. We want people to oppose in November, and so in 2018 you hope to get try again with the good amendment, right?
That's right. We're eyeing 2018, another run then, you know, dependent on fundraising and other variables, but, you know, it's certainly in the mix right now. But we have, you know, shifted our focus for the moment on getting Amendment 4 passed.
Okay.
Because, you know, one of the barriers in the state, in addition to third-party sales, are these onerous taxes. So
right.
if we can remove this barrier in August, that would take us a significant, you know, it would take us forward.
Yeah.
And that's the direction we need to go because we have so little rooftop solar in Florida. But by contrast, this ballot initiative in November will take us backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I think all your readers can agree that, you know, when it comes to solar development and a cleaner energy future, we need to move forward, not backwards.
I think so. I totally agree. And then maybe in 2018 we'll have a one that'll allow third-party solar and other people to put solar powers on your roof at no cost to you. That'll be in 2018, we hope. Who is backing the push to approve for it? Your organization and anybody else? You got any large donors or?
I mean, I would encourage folks to visit the yesonfour.org website and look at the endorsement page. It's a broad coalition of groups, of businesses, you know, it's environmental, clean energy groups, it's legislators, both Republican and Democrat, you know, businesses, local governments. So it's big and getting bigger every day.
I certainly hope it will pass, and we'll do everything we can to support it. We did a station editorial, I think, supporting number 4 in August 30th. And we urge everybody to vote yes on 4. And there's a website again, yesonfour.org. It's YESON and the numeral 4.org. That's where you can find out a lot more about this good amendment in August 30th. And to go all the way down the ballot, make sure you see it and check yes. Anything else you want to talk about with respect to renewable energy? Anything else today, George?
Well, you know, the only other thing I might add is that we live in interesting times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear a lot about the clean energy future, and it makes a lot of sense. And why aren't we doing it, you know, quicker and moving in this direction faster? And you know, you're kind of seeing it play out in Florida, and you're seeing it play out in these ballot initiatives. And it's the regulation around energy and, you know, how these big power companies are regulated because, you know, they've, for 100 years, have been regulated the same way. They build the power plants. They build the transmission lines. And you know, they earn a profit on that, and they send out the power from a centralized location to a customer. But now we've got these 21st century technologies where you can generate your own power that'll lead to a cleaner energy future. You can send power back to the grid, and you're really getting a lot of resistance from these companies now that see their monopoly power as threatened.
Yeah.
And rather than trying to adapt to the future, they're fighting it. And this is what you're seeing. You know, this is the backstory on these ballot initiatives, is that these, you know, the power companies are fighting the future. They're not embracing it. And, you know, we live in interesting times, and, you know, we're trying to push the ball forward with these initiatives. And you know, I want to thank everybody who was involved in Floridians for Solar Choice and everyone who's going to vote for Amendment 4, because, you know, the future of our kids and grandkids depends on it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, George, for being here and for talking to us. We'll be following. Maybe we'll call you again in November as we approach the bad amendment in November. But the good one, number 4, in August 30th, this primary, August 30th, number 4, let's vote for that amendment. And the organization is yesonfour.org. We'll hope it passes. I think it's polling close to the 60% necessary to pass it and put it into the Constitution. So we'll see. Keep in touch, George, and we'll make sure to alert our listeners again before August 30th. So it's Yes on 4, August 30th. And thank you again, George, for being with us.
Thanks so much, Tom. Onwards.
Okay. Bye-bye.